The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
The kids aren't all right. There's a song by that name, but I'm thinking about something different. The Kids Aren't All Right was the name of a podcast episode I listened to a few months ago, where author Abigail Schreier was talking about her newest book, Bad Therapy. In her book, Schreier talks about the ways that our culture has shifted to a more child-focused and more therapeutic way of raising kids. And throughout her book, Schreier goes to great lengths to show why this is problematic. She says, kids are taught to pay more attention to their feelings. Kids learn to ruminate on their experiences. The worries kids have been automatically affirmed instead of overcome, and children are over-monitored. Schreier's book is mainly pointing out a shift where the child is now at the center and an over-therapeutic model of care is being utilized. But the data is showing that this is actually harming and having an ill effect on kids. A month after Schreier's book came out just this past February, social psychologist Jonathan Haidt released his book, The Anxious Generation. Haidt argued that we've traded a play-based childhood for a phone-based childhood. And the result is rising rates of anxiety and depression amongst teenagers more than we've ever seen in history. Haidt writes, unsupervised outdoor play teaches children how to handle risks and challenges of many kinds. By building physical, psychological, and social competence, it gives kids confidence that they can face new situations, which is an inculcation against anxiety. According to Haidt, since 2010, there's been a 134% increase in anxiety amongst U.S. undergraduates. And in addition, Haidt notes that rates of depression amongst teen boys and girls have increased dramatically, 145% in girls, 161% in boys. And Schreier and Haidt both seem to be telling us the kids are not all right. But even for those who love Jesus and love his word, raising kids is hard. And raising kids brings some of the most joy in my life and some of the most heartache. Some of the greatest moments of laughter and some of the greatest moments of confusion. If we haven't met yet, my name's Aaron, and I have the joy of getting to be a part of the team here at Coram Deo. And more importantly, I'm a father of four. And after a difficult first year of marriage 10 years ago, where we lost our first baby who was stillborn, to now having four beautiful, healthy kids, I am beyond grateful to God. I love Sienna and Kaysen and Adia and Juniper so much. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. These kids are a blast. So much fun and delight. And if someone can help me figure out how to get four kids to look at the camera at the same time, that would be great. But raising kids is also hard. It's tiring. And it's exposing. Raising kids exposes so much selfishness, control, fear, and sin in my own heart. And I want nothing more than to grow old with Shai and have our four adult children grown up living in the way of Jesus and teaching their children the same. But in particular this week, in preaching on parenting, I'm aware of how ill-equipped and sinful and broken I am as a father, and how much I need Ephesians 6 and the Holy Spirit to carry me along. But let me say this. We all need the words of Ephesians 6. While we are all children, many people in this room are not parents. And instead of thinking that only half this sermon applies to you, we all need to hear the words of Ephesians 6. Like I said last week, single people are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God, and the same goes for those who do not have kids. You are not any less godly or spiritual because you do not have kids. And many people, many godly and Jesus-loving people, want to have kids. So many close friends of mine who love Jesus with all their hearts, who have invested so much in my kids' lives, would love to be parents. And I cry out, why, God? Why can't Matthew and Trish have kids? Why are there so many dishonorable parents, but these godly couples aren't able to have kids? It doesn't seem right. And so I recognize that a passage like this brings up a whole range of emotions, both joy and pain, both hope and sorrow. But no matter where you are, I want to say you need the words of Ephesians 6. Because Ephesians 6 was written to the whole body of Christ. And parents thrive, families thrive, when people who don't have kids are involved and invested in the lives of households who do have kids. And we all, again, need to hear what God's word has to say about raising kids and about children. So with that, I want to look at this passage in just two simple movements. Number one, the responsibility of children. And then number two, the responsibility of parents. So first, the responsibility of children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Notice how Paul directly addresses children. Now, why would he do that? Well, children in Paul's day were just seen as like property and not very valued. A letter dating to the time of the New Testament between a husband, Hilarion, and his wife, Alice, reads, "I'm asking you and begging you to take care of the little child when we are paid. I will send it to you right away. If you happen to be pregnant again, if it is a boy, leave it. If it's a girl, throw it out." Seneca, another first century writer, says this, "Unnatural progeny we destroy. We drown even children who are at birth weak or abnormal." See, the first century world of Paul's day did not value children. It considered children disposable. And in many ways, much has not changed. Tim Keller wrote, "We may not burn incense to Artemis, a Greek goddess, but when money and career are raised to cosmic proportions, we perform a kind of child sacrifice, neglecting family and community to achieve a higher place in business and gain more wealth." See, in our culture, usually one of two things happens with our kids. Either they become the center of everything. They become like mini idols. Or children are seen as a nuisance or an inconvenience. People might get married but have kids. No way. That's too much work. That would impose on my freedom. But the Bible offers this rich portrayal of children as a blessing. Children are not an afterthought in the kingdom of God, and so Paul addresses children directly, which means children are present in the church gathering here in Ephesus. It means that children are capable of learning and understanding the Bible in theology. It means that kids can track with what Paul is saying here in Ephesians. And kids and students in the room, you need to know That theology and the Bible are for you. Paul wrote Ephesians and just assumes that kids would hear it and track with it. But there are two specific responsibilities that are given to children, starting first with obey. In other words, children need godly parental authority. Parental authority who will love their children enough to teach them to obey. And Paul doesn't just speak to the children's act of obedience, he does. He also speaks to their motivation. That's why he says, obey in the Lord. And children ultimately obey God by obeying their parents. This means not only are children a gift and a blessing to parents, but parents are a gift and a blessing to children. Children, students, your parents are God's gift to you. God has given you your parents to train you and raise you in the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus is a way of obedience to Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And so children, you are to obey your parents so that you might grow in your own obedience to the Lord. Obedience to your parents is good and right. But I also want you to see obedience as a blessing. Because your parents are God's gift to you, training you to live in the way of Jesus. And if I can say something real quickly to parents here, the reason we train our children to obey is not because we are egomaniacs or dictators, nor is it to show off how exemplary our children are, like they're some kind of trophy or something. We train our children to obey us so that they will grow up with an inherent sort of reflexive ability to choose to obey God rather than their own impulses. When we teach our children to obey us, we give them the gift of an increased capacity to obey God. And what an incredible gift that is. But let me state something that's probably obvious, but very important. It will cost you to train your child in obedience. It will take focus and work and determination and diligence. It will take tears and prayer and dependence on the Spirit of God to know how to raise your children with the strength and the tenderness and the authority of Jesus. Raising children without the power of the Spirit is frivolous. And it will take prayer and dependence on the Spirit to not only raise your children, to teach them to obey, but it will also take prayer and dependence on the Spirit to live out this next part. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, what is honor? Well, the word honor has to do with weightiness or significance. To honor one's parents is to give them their due weight to their position and role. To honor is to respect, to value, to give weight to. But why? Why do we honor our parents? Why does God give the command for children, regardless of age, to honor their parents? Well, here, Paul's quoting from one of the Ten Commandments, the fifth to be exact. And God is saying that when we honor our parents, we are aligning ourselves with the way God does things in the world. See, there's a promise here that it may go well with you in the land. I was talking with Pastor Dusty about this verse, and he was mentioning that if you don't honor your mother and father, you just cut off your own blessing. He said that this matters for his own worship and conscience. And for many of us, this is really easy. There's a lot to say and think about that's honorable about your mother or father. You can speak well of them. You can care for them. You can prioritize their interests. You can spend time with them. But for others, This is incredibly painful. Your mom and or dad were not honorable people. And do you know what? You should be honest about that. You should lament that. There are people in this church whose parents were abusive and harsh and full of anger and rage, and you never knew if you were safe. You never knew which version of mom or dad you were going to get. So this verse is incredibly complex. We can't escape that reality. But whether you come from a story of blessing or a story of tragedy, we both must figure out how to honor our parents for the sake of our own worship to God. This is hard. It doesn't have to be lofty, but it does have to be something for the sake of your own worship to Jesus, that it may go well with you. Remember, honor is a word that has to do with weightiness. And maybe honoring your parents means acknowledging the weightiness of how they have shaped your story. Maybe honoring your parents is simply not dishonoring them. Maybe honoring your parents is acknowledging that they exist as an image bearer of God, and that's all you can do. Pastor Dusty, the care and counseling team, the rest of the pastors, we want to help. I mentioned Pastor Dusty. He was incredibly helpful for me in processing this verse together. See, a couple years ago, he preached a helpful and timely sermon on the fifth commandment, exactly what Paul's quoting here in Ephesians 5. And if you know Pastor Dusty's story, which he mentions in that sermon, you know that for him, honoring his father and mother was not easy. But it's something that he believes, we believe, that the scriptures call all of us to do. And so perhaps maybe watching or listening to that sermon on our website is a good place to start. And if what I'm saying is naming something in your story, and I want you to come up and receive the ministry of prayer after the gathering. Let us pray with you. Don't hold your pain alone. To live out Ephesians 6:1-4 requires dependence on the Spirit. Don't walk alone. And that equally applies to what comes next. See, we've looked briefly at the responsibility of children, but now let's take a look at the responsibility of parents. Later this year, December 6 and 7, dates to mark on your calendar, we're hosting a parenting conference right here where we'll spend a whole weekend thinking together on the how to raise children. So put those dates on your calendar, December 6 and 7. But my aim today is I just want to simply draw out the specific things Ephesians 6 verse 4 is saying. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Notice that Paul singles out fathers. Now, obviously, mothers and fathers are essential to raising children. Both father and mother are necessary. That's God's design from the very beginning. But the scriptures place the primary responsibility on the father to make sure the family is flourishing in the way of Jesus. See, we live in a time of the fatherless generation where fathers are abdicating responsibility. But God clearly says to fathers to take up responsibility. And through prayer and dependence on the Spirit, and through others coming into your life, showing you what this practically looks like, this is possible. Regardless of your upbringing and your story, we as fathers and future fathers need to take the initiative in our families to teach and demonstrate the way of Jesus. We need to train our kids to be men and women who can be disappointed without being crushed, because our kids find their ultimate identity in Christ. And see, the primary way our kids grow in the way of Jesus is not through Corumbeo Kids, it's not through student ministry, it's not through a private Christian school. The way of Jesus and discipleship begins in the home. So before we go any further, let me just give a simple statement of the goal of raising kids. Our goal as Christian parents is to raise godly men and women who love and serve Jesus in the power of the Spirit. Your goal isn't to raise the smartest or most athletic kid. Your goal isn't for your child to get into the best college. Your goal isn't any of those things, amazing as those things are. And your goal isn't to raise a 9-year-old. Meaning that for all the difficulty you are experiencing right now in the trenches, stick it out. Play the long game. The work and the prayer and the tears you are giving right now are not in vain. Your goal is to raise godly men and women who love and serve Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And no matter what stage of raising kids you're in, Ephesians 6 verse 4 has wisdom for you. See, notice the negative command. Fathers, do not provoke your children. And I am so guilty of this. I love my schedule, my comfort, my routines. I like things the same way. And so I find myself raising our kids all too often out of convenience, meaning I want my kids to do certain things or act a certain way, behave a certain way, but a lot of it's just rooted out of my own personal convenience. And this ends up being provoking to them. Now, it might look different for you, but we all need to be aware, what is that? What are ways where ourselves are at the center and that actually provokes our kids? So fathers, and by extension mothers, do not provoke your children to anger. Now, instead of provoking, what might the opposite be? Well, I would say the opposite of provocation is encouragement and speaking blessing. Encouragement and speaking blessing is one of the ways we as parents can raise our children to be godly men and women in the way of Jesus. I mean, think about the biblical pattern, especially in the book of Genesis, where the father speaks blessing over the next generation. And this means calling out of them the ways that we see God working in their lives. I mean, isn't it so easy to harp on all the wrong things our kids do? But how often do I take and slow down to have the honest time to speak intentional words of encouragement or blessing? It's about taking time to notice the good things that they are doing, commending them for it, encouraging them in all areas of life where they're thriving and growing and bringing joy. See, speaking to your kids like they are a blessing teaches them that they are one. See, if all our kids hear is just negative correction over and over and over again, many of our children are going to eventually conclude that there's just something wrong with them, that they're too difficult or too bad or too much trouble, or even worse, that the gospel doesn't work for them. And so fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I mean, that word discipline literally means discipline. It means holding someone accountable. It means to correct. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son, and he will give you comfort, and he will also delight in your soul. Discipline, in many ways, is about teaching what not to do. It means to correct, but with the aim of training and formation. It's not arbitrary punishment or discipline. It's intentional. It's focused with the aim of correcting to guide one back on the path of what is right, the way of Jesus. And discipline is meant to go with instruction. Instruction, this word having to do with counsel and teaching and actively teaching, not just passively showing. See, just as God lovingly and patiently instructs us, often needing to teach us the same thing over and over again. So we ought to patiently raise and teach our kids in those same things, sometimes over and over and over again. But notice Paul says that this is discipline and instruction of the Lord. See, remember the goal of parenting. Our goal as Christian parents is to raise godly men and women who love and serve Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And Ephesians 6:4 is telling us that the most important thing we can instruct and raise our kids in is in the way of Jesus. Teaching our kids the scriptures, sharing the gospel, practicing the way of Jesus, and pay attention here, a massive part of our instructing of our children in the Lord is modeling repentance. Parents, and especially fathers, we must be the lead repenters in our families. God calls us to show and demonstrate what it looks like to ask for forgiveness. Our kids need to see us regularly repent. Our kids need to see what it looks like for us to walk in continual repentance and faith. Because living the way of Jesus is a life of repentance and faith. There are fewer things more beautiful than when a leader acknowledges and confesses sin. And there are fewer things more beautiful than when a parent gets on a knee and asks for forgiveness, acknowledging that they themselves are in need of daily grace. Because then our kids begin to see that the gospel is not just theoretical and out there, but it's real and it's vital and necessary for their own lives. A few weeks ago, we witnessed some of the fruit of this. We baptized over 24 people right here in this room, each one of them having a unique story of how God has worked in their lives. And many of those stories were of children who grew up in this church, were dedicated as infants, and now 15, 16 years later have stood up and declared that God has saved them and they want to live their lives for Jesus. I mean, how beautiful is that? That's what I'm praying for my kids. That's what I know so many of you in this room are praying for yours as well. There's nothing that you want more than to see your kids grow to love and serve Jesus, to walk in the way of Jesus. And raising kids is hard work. It's full of joy and laughter. Remember that. As difficult as it is, remember the joy and the laughter. Savor these years. Relish these moments. Slow down. A few years ago, a pastor I follow on social media posted this, and it's something that has always stuck with me. He said to the weary parent of a young child, there's coming a day where they will climb onto your lap. They will ask for a shoulder ride. They will call your name at night. They will reach for your hand, and it will be the last time. And neither of you will know it. We've been granted an unknown, yet limited number of these. And what can sometimes feel like an interruption is actually a limited edition gift. Raising kids is such a joy. But raising kids is also exposing. It exposes my selfishness. It exposes my lack and my sin. So where do we get the power to do any of this? Where can children get the power to obey and honor their parents? Where can parents get the power to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Well, the answer is not going to surprise you. The answer is in the power of repentance and faith. See, remember, Jesus was the only son who perfectly honored his father. And through Jesus, we have access and relationship with our heavenly Father. Then Jesus was so close to his Father that he had the audacity to say that I and the Father are one. And Christ lived a completely honoring life to the Father, a life that God intends for each of us to live. Yet we perpetually fail to live. And the Father loves the Son and says, as the Spirit descends on him at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, within whom I am well pleased." And in Christ, those words of affirmation and affection are yours. And from a place of knowing the Father's love and being empowered by the Spirit, Jesus lives that perfect God-honoring life on our behalf and dies on our behalf. And on the cross, he absorbs the immense weight of all the ways that we fail and fall short as parents and children. All the ways that we fail to honor. All the ways that we provoke our kids. All the ways that we raise our kids out of a place of insecurity, all the ways that we raise our kids out of a place of fear, Jesus takes all of that into himself and gives back his very life and righteousness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is all grace. And so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ reshapes the way that we honor our parents. It reshapes the way how we raise our kids. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ frees us to live a life of repentance and faith. See, the mark of really experiencing the Father's love is realizing that you have nothing to prove. Parents, your worth is not determined by how well your kids behave or how amazing your kids are. The gospel frees you from having to prove yourself either as a parent or as a child. And you can find your security, you can find your hope, you can find your love and your satisfaction ultimately in him. And from that place, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ frees you. It frees you to repent. See, the Spirit has been speaking to you. Not out of condemnation. God is using this passage to expose some things. Parents, are there ways that you provoke your kids or have spoken harshly with them? Or maybe putting your own comfort and preferences and ahead of raising and serving your kids? And what you need is not another parenting book or another parenting podcast. What you need is to repent, to turn back to the Lord and receive his forgiveness and to do the same with your kids. Because the Spirit wants to bring freedom and joy. The Spirit wants to reassure you of the Father's love. And younger children, perhaps you've recognized ways that you've been disrespectful or disobedient, and the gospel frees you to see your lack and to see your sin and turn back to Jesus and confess and to experience his love and grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ frees us to repent, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ empowers us to deeper trust and belief. See, many of you feel a sense of hopelessness when it comes to raising your kids. You realize you haven't been the perfect parent. You're doing your best to live out what God's word teaches, but things are really, really hard right now. There doesn't seem to be any fruit, or even relationships maybe are strained, even with your adult children. There's a sense of shame and regret. And you believe that the gospel is powerful. But you believe that the gospel is powerful for that person, for that family out there. But it's hard for you to really believe and trust the good news of the gospel for your family, for your kids, for your own situation. And while I can't guarantee anything, what I do know is that the Spirit of God is at work right now. And so maybe what you need is someone to simply come and pray with you. In fact, no maybes here. I want you to come up after the gathering and receive the ministry of prayer today. Don't rush out these doors. Even if it means grabbing someone next to you, pray together, and through another brother or sister, let's see the Spirit of God move in power. Because the Spirit wants to bring life and love to places where there's disappointment and despair. The Spirit wants to bring the love of Christ to the darkest and most complex relationships. And in the good news of Jesus, we are His. We are adopted sons and daughters who have the Father's love and affection. And because of Jesus, you have the Father's unconditional love, a love that has been poured out, shed abroad in your heart because of the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the good news of the gospel. Rest in this. Be at peace in this as you pursue the work that the Spirit is inviting you to do. And so, Father, we ask. We ask that in this moment you would remind us of your sure and steadfast love for us. God, as your sons and daughters, would you help us to bask in the reality of your steadfast love for us? In spirit, would you empower us as your people to experience the joy and freedom of walking a life of repentance and faith in the way of Jesus. So Spirit of God, would you gently provoke and remind us of the ways where we fall short, and would you empower us to confess and live out a life of deeper belief and trust in you. Spirit of God, come and empower your people, we pray. In your name, amen.